she gets real sick. She'll jump up and down when I'm running with her playing, but she never knows. She's too old for that.
Yeah.
It's just that if I brought my kids and they saw that dog, they would think it was a horse
or a pony.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny. I went, took her shopping with me. I had to go to the big shopping center. Where you go inside the store, South,
yeah, I know that.
Yes, it's huge.
Oh,
I had to go and get up.
And I feel like I don't want to give that struggle to my daughter. And that's why I wanted to, you know, do an interview with a family that could maybe talk about some of the ways in which they made that struggle easier for them, you know, their mother made it easier for them and their daughter, like accepting themselves and the changes they went through in their own time. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't agree with the interpretation, but I know what you mean.
Oh, what interpretation?
Well, I mean, if somebody says, I'm like I am because my mother laid a trip on me.
Yeah.
I think they're wrong. You see, I mean, I don't think that you can, that anyone can take responsibility. I can't lay who I am on anybody else. And if I say that, that's what I'm doing. If I say there are things about me I don't like, it's my mother's fault, then I'm still not taking responsibility for being me. And I'm laying it all on her, which is what I'm saying I don't want her to do to me, so how can I do it to her? So I just don't agree. I mean, I know people say that, but I don't think that that's really true.
Well, I had another thought. I think that when a child is, like, really little and vulnerable and everything, that everybody lays their trip on the child because it's so dependent and it's not independent. I agree with you that after we become independent, that we have to learn to take the responsibility ourselves and not lay it on anyone else, you know. But I think that every, like, small creature comes under that, both positive and negative things being laid on them because they're not independent yet.
Oh, well, I don't agree with that either because I just don't agree with the whole concept of being laid on. I don't like the terminology, and I don't think it's true. But I think if you want to say that, you know, that we all live in a society with lots of other people, and they have their effect on us, and we have our effect on them, and there's all kinds of things happen. But no, you never hear a little kid saying, "My mother laid it on me." You only hear that after people are grown up and they say, "I don't want things laid on me, so I'm going to lay things on other people." That's what I hear when I hear you say that. Well, and I just don't agree with that.
I think that I feel that there are things that, not that were laid on me, but that I have to break away from that have been part of how I've always lived and how I've been partially brought up to live, but that doesn't only mean my parents, that means the whole influence. Everyone in my sphere of influence has made it so that when you finally can make a choice for yourself about how you want to live, you know, that you can't do that when you're 2 or 5 or 10 or 12. You can start doing that when you're 16, 17, you know. And when you finally can be able to do that completely, there are things that your mothers and your fathers, and not just your mothers, they haven't laid on you, but you have to decide what of their life is part of yours and what is just part of yours when you're with them. And I think that's what the laid on trip is. I don't like the terminology laid on, but I think that that's what it's talking about, or that's what I hear when I hear it said, is that there are those things that have been part of my life that I don't want to be part of my life anymore.
Yeah, but I think that's a completely different statement than what you're saying.
Well, no, I didn't mean that we would always go back to our mothers and blame them. I think that there are things that they maybe taught us that they wouldn't agree with maybe now, but I think them, well, if you have to call it mistakes, we can accept, I'd like to accept it in a more loving frame of reference, but I think one of the steps of being independent is learning that at an early age, certain things, you were in an environment where certain things weren't conducive to independent growth. Do you know what
I don't know.
That was all.
Are you saying that to be able to sooner let go of your children, like that's one thing that mothers have a hard time doing, is letting go, and to be able to not have them be dependent on you for so long, so that it's easier? Is that what you mean about the being independent? And I'm not sure if I understood you, but that's how I think I did.
Partially, I think when a creature feels that good about himself, that's, you know, one step in being independent. I was going to ask you, what were some of the obstacles that you had, the greatest obstacles you had to overcome in becoming independent women?
And so
yeah,
it was
well,
important.
I was thinking, I guess, like my very first job was in the burlesque, and like it was the only job I could get. I went, you know, like I went all around, and nobody wanted me for anything, but they did. And so I worked 7 days a week, and I worked from noon till 1 a.m. over there in Minneapolis at the burlesque theater, and then it would take me till 3 to get home. I'd wait for 2 lineups. Because I lived in St. Paul. So I'd be home about 3 o'clock, go to sleep, and I'd be up at 7 to be with my daughter because I had to be at work at noon. And I didn't feel as very independent. You know, I felt that we couldn't get kicked out of the apartment, and I, you know, like I was just being forced all the time to do this kind of thing. And if I had been alone, I would have, without a child, I would have had more choices. I mean, you can always go to somebody's house and eat. You don't. Well, no, you have to maintain your own place for that child. You have to make a place for that child. You can't just drag her around all over and be dependent on other people. Because she's dependent on you. So you have to maintain. Well, if you go to other people's house to eat, then they're maintaining for you. You have to have a house that other people can eat at your house.
That's true whether or not you have a child.
Yeah, sure, but you don't need as much for yourself as you do.
Doesn't take up much room.
Well, I only had 2 rooms.
But the point is
but I had
that
a babysitter
if you didn't have a child,
miles then to feed.
If you didn't have a child, you would have still had that problem.
And you still would have had, if you wanted a job, you would still have had to do what you did.
I wouldn't have needed as much money.
But you
I had
still
3 miles
would have
to feed.
Needed something.
Right, but only went for 1 mile, not 3, and that's
the
a
principle
big difference.
The principle is still the same. You still would not have been independent if those things that you're describing still would have existed with or without a child.
I don't think so. I don't
well,
need.
I disagree.
I don't need as much as 3 people need.
In principle, that's just quantity. But the
but
principle of it is
about.
Absolutely
the
same. The
amount you have to sell yourself makes a difference on your independence. If you have a job where you can work 5 days a week, say about 8 hours, and maybe it fits a little more into what you want to do, and you get paid enough to exist, to have some independent time, both from the job and from these dependent people, then you can take care of things and take care of business.
Well, okay, I mean, I don't know if we want to do this, because you're really talking about a different thing than I'm talking about completely. But the truth is, you see, that you could have solved that. You know, you could have gone to school. You could have gotten a skill where you can work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and done that. You know, but you didn't want to do that.
Or you didn't.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, there were other choices that you could have made that you didn't make.
I didn't think so.
I know, but you didn't make them. You didn't consider them.
They weren't there.
Like what?
Like going to school and acquiring a skill that would give you an...
How did I do that? I didn't have time to even sleep.
You chose to get married. You chose to have a child. You and but you did. You said that wasn't important to you when you made those choices.
No, I didn't.
Well, you did at the time when you were 17.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't realize that there was no way for me to be able to handle everything. I really thought I could, but that I didn't have that kind of value, you know, to be able to handle that thing.
Here's a little bit different angle on this whole question of independence. Do any of you feel like you've ever been dependent on a man?
I never have been able to. I've wanted to sometimes. Make it easier.
What do you mean? Financially?
No, not necessarily. However you might interpret that, I suppose.
Well, the way that I would interpret it that it would make any sense to me is through egos, having your ego dependent on a man for happiness or whatever. But I think you can do that with your ego on anything. And if your ego is dependent on anything else for you to be happy or be what you want to be you, then, you know... I would feel a certain way about it. I would tend to feel negative, but I think that my ego is wrapped up in a lot of other things besides me right now. But it's so spread out that it's not on any one thing in particular. I have goats, I have plants, I have dogs, I have cats, I have people around me, and I have a job, and it's insane to try to keep all of those things, and I'm so spread out that there's very little time for me to dwell on me. But I chose that. I want that for now. And so, like, I think that my ego is dependent on other things besides me. One of them is a man, but I don't think that it's tremendously.
Getting back to that question about independence, it does seem to me that at different periods in time, it was harder to make a living physically, and that you had to spend more time doing it, and you felt sort of tied down to a job. So if people have come out of those different times feeling good about themselves, would there be a different definition of independence? Would it be something you feel about yourself, or something, some experiences that happened with you and your mother that were transcended those things?
Some special feeling. I'm not accepting the premise that that's independent, so yeah. I'm not going to respond to it.
Okay.
So because that's not my definition.
Yeah, I just felt that she, sort of said, you can be whatever. Like, that's the thing I appreciated most. You know, just saying, you know, whatever you are, it's perfect. You know, and stick to it. Like, that's the important thing to do.
But that it's all right to change, too. But that's how she lived. I don't think that that was some kind of philosophy she developed and then explained it to us. I never remember anything like that. But that's how she lived. And that's how you learn, I think. So, you know, the thing about don't do what I say, or don't do what I do what I say, you know, is a complete anachronism, because really we do what people do.
Right. Like, a lot of times I've been talked to women who want, and sort of the kind of question that you presented in the beginning. You know, not the same, but a similar type question about, I want my daughter, you know, something or other. And I think this really comes from Meridel a lot, where I've said, well, then you do what you think your daughter should do. and then maybe your daughter might dig it, you know.
But it's really the same thing,
you know. But that, I mean, you can't just tell kids, well, be free, you know, while you're all hung up and tight and don't dare express your opinion or do anything. Your lifestyle and your belief has to come out by your action.
I think a very good example in the past, and I'm not very close to it now, but the drug culture. And a lot of parents my age were really, really worried about their kids as they were popping tranquilizers and speed, all on, you know, getting from doctors and living on aspirins. And that, you know, they were really heavy into drugs and worried sick about their kids being on drugs. And it always blew my mind, you know, because I couldn't believe that they couldn't see that that's what they were doing. And that, and my arguments with kids used to be that, you know, you're not rebelling when you're taking drugs. You're just doing what your parents are doing. It's not an independent act.
I can remember when we used to run around these really wild gangs of kids, you know, and they were like ripping off tires, and it was during the war, and siphoning gas out and doing all these wild things.
Drinking beer.
Yeah. And we were really fascinated with the whole life. And, like, I mean, Meryl must have been really uptight and worried because there were things to worry about.
People got arrested.
Right. But she didn't, like, lay on us a heavy fright trip. She didn't, like, cover it up either. But it was more... you know, well, you guys are exploring the world. That's really exciting. She didn't say that, but that's the way I, you know, kind of feel about it now. I don't, can't get right back to then, but it was more like that. And, well, you know, you got to be careful. And I don't want harm to come to you. But it's really exciting exploring the world. You know, and kind of, that kind of feeling was what I got from her. I don't know what the words she said. But they were just like little things, like, you guys are staying out kind of late. Is everything all right? It was, you know, more like a checking in and checking out to see that we were all right. But not laying like a fear trip about exploring the world and finding out. I remember few things. She'd make some kind of comments about this boy would say, you know, all these kind of just dumb things. See, I can't remember her words, but sort of implying that there was more than just this kind of wild thing. But that was neat to dig too.
When I lived with her in New Mexico, it was real different from how you two are describing it, because I don't know if it was it was me or if it was her. But
she's different with other people than her daughter.
Yeah. But I didn't know it was. There was a lot of times when she would say, "Well, the statement that you made before about whoever you were, whatever you did, she felt was good, you know, and that it was okay." Well, I didn't feel that way. I felt like there were definite things that I did that she thought that I shouldn't do. Or that I did that she thought that I should do and shouldn't do the other ones.
She didn't say anything heavy.
Oh, she did.
Yeah?
She would. And she would, you know, she would do, more than say things, she would do things. She would pout, which reminded me of what you do. When you get there. You know, you just, and lock yourself in your room for a couple of hours till you cool down. And she would do that when things weren't, you know, when I didn't do exactly what was expected.
But I think that she's more open with other people than her daughters in one way. You know, like, it's sort of, I feel that she has a trip, and I don't know if this is right, I have to ask her. But that she doesn't lay things on her daughters. More cautiousness about that, more openness about something else. And then with other people, maybe with granddaughters,